This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Matthew worked in a restaurant. He said, just cut off the bitten part of the hamburger. Bam, free hamburger.
100%.
And I said, you realize they were holding that unbitten part with probably their even dirtier hands. And he goes, totally. Totally yeah. Understands that yeah. Part of it.
I knew that, too. But you get hungry back there. You're working hard. You've never worked in a kitchen. You don't have any idea. You can't speak on it, man. You can't speak on it.
No, I've been in, I've pretty much done radio my entire life. Radio and television.
That's right.
Nothing else. Sounds kind of like Mike Schilt has just done baseball pretty much his entire life. I'm sure he's had other lines of work. And joining us right now for our manager's report brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better. The skipper of the San Diego Padres coming off a couple of good series wins this week. It is Mike Schilt with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Mike, good morning to you. Welcome back to San Diego.
Good morning, gentlemen. Always good to be back in beautiful, best city in the world.
Absolutely right. What is your, this has got, you know, being the manager of a Major League Baseball team, that's number one gig, like the best. There's nothing going to be better than that, right? What was your worst gig you ever had?
Ooh, worst one. A couple different winters over Christmas break. I've been a worker my whole life, so I've had a lot of odd jobs and so forth. But probably the more challenging one was, I would go split wood for Sonny's Barbecue. And I'd get up and I'd be in, had to be at Albemarle, which is about 45 minutes from my house in Charlotte. And it was brutally cold in December. And, you know, they'd drop off these huge, you know, logs of, you know, trees. And the guy that ran it would, you know, he'd cut it with a chainsaw, he'd roll it over and I'd pick it up and I'd use the wood splitter. And, you know, it was 28 degrees and dark when we started, and we did the loads to Sonny's Barbecue, two or three different loads, and I don't know, I got like $15 in, you know, in cash, an hour, and, you know, a barbecue sandwich.
That's unreal.
My takeaway here for the Dodgers tonight is that our manager knows how to use an axe.
And split wood, man, in the cold, bro. Like, so, that is.
Be careful tonight.
That's a crap job. There's no, and I bet you Sonny never had enough wood either. So you're out there splitting it all day.
All day, man. It was and the guy had like two little pet chihuahuas. They were aggressive, and it was like, you know, you got in there, it was like 6:30 in the morning, and these two dogs are, you know, nipping at your legs, and like, I just, you know, what am I doing?
You're like, I'd rather go ride buses in the minor leagues than do this. That's right. What I'm going to do.
But that $15 an hour was a big deal because I worked at Taco Loco and was making, you know, $3.85 an hour and got like a 10-cent raise. Like, man, I'm doing it.
Oh, yeah, 100%. That's great.
Oh,
great
everyone
story.
Loves that North Carolina Mexican food. Just ask Will Myers. It's definitely a popular thing over there, the white queso. So I can't believe it's only been a week that that Luis Arraez has been on the team. Give us your impressions. I mean, starting from, we talked to you last Friday. We found out about the trade later that night. Maybe you had an inkling. Maybe you didn't. And then he shows up on Saturday with that spectacular day. And it certainly seems like the guys on your team have loved having him this past week.
Yeah, he's been a value add across the board. Obviously, this dude can absolutely flat out hit. What a surgeon with the bat and you know, what a debut too. I mean, just put on an absolute clinic, and you know, he's gonna elevate us clearly at the top of our order. Quality of bats, being able to get on base. Also, you know, bottom of our lineup continues to get on, he'll drop some guys in as well. So a lot of benefit to him, but also just the residual benefit of what he's gonna do to just a pro at bat, man. Just and he's just a guy that just likes to, loves to play, and has great energy. So he's one of these guys that are going to bring people along with him. And so there's just a lot to like about Luis.
How's David Macias' chest right now? Because he's been getting worn out, man. The first game, too, yeah, I was like, that was karate chop right to the pecs. Now, my chest would have caved in. Ben's chest would have caved in. But Macias is a pretty tough dude.
Macias, tough dude. Works out, you know. Still a younger guy. Played, you know, rearview mirrors, not too far away from his playing career.
Yeah.
Athletic young guy. So he'll be all right. We might get him a chest protector, but he'll be fine.
Joined by the skipper, Mike Schild, here on Ben and Woods this morning. You know, we kicked it around earlier in the week, well, because we didn't really have anything else to talk about. You know, we thought to ourselves, I do wonder if organizations have ever been tempted to use a guy like Luis Arraez in a different spot than the top of the order. Obviously, you love a table setter, certainly. You love, you know, Toddy coming up with the guy on base, maybe first, maybe second. But has there ever been, you know, have you guys kicked around the notion of, I mean, if he hits in the three hole, we could have two guys on base because the guys above him are pretty good too, and he could drive in some runs. Is that something you'd ever consider, you know, tinkering with?
No, I never think about the lineup.
No, never.
So I have no idea what you what
idiot.
You're
yeah. All right, well, that's the
I'm
answer.
Just messing with you guys.
Yeah,
I mean, you know what? It's a great question. It really is. It's a great question and good debate. And something I've thought about and there's been discussion about. You know, I alluded to it a moment ago. I like where he's at now for a couple of reasons. One, he's done it historically and done it very, very well. Doesn't mean he clearly can't do it in another area. Two, we have had production from the bottom of our lineup.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and so I do feel like, and he's already done it, he's got the ability to drive in runs based on the guys at the bottom. And then you look up and, you know, our big boys are there to drive in runs. And if you got a guy that's going to be on base a lot, I see the value in that as well. You know, we'll see what it looks like. We'll play with it. And if we think we got to adjust it, you know, we won't you know, shy away from doing that. But I also really like where the guys are with Toddy. And I mean, you're following with Toddy, Crony, who's obviously in a great place.
Yep.
And Manny and Pro and Bogey. So it's pretty good guys behind them that, you know, can drive him in. But yeah, it's a reasonable question and something we have thought about.
Yeah, you know, and Arraez and Solano, you've got more depth now. And in some ways, though, making your job a little tougher because early in the season, actually pretty simple. Manny's DHing, got to put someone at third. They're going to be near the bottom of the order. Mm-hmm. There's only a little bit of tinkering you could do. Now, with Manny back at third and more depth and more options and, you know, choosing which guys are going to DH and get off their feet each day, it actually probably is giving you more to think about every single day. How are you kind of approaching that with the new toys that you've been given?
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. I mean, you'd way rather have too many options like, oh man, what am I going to do? Than going, how am I going to do it? You know. So it's just a balancing act. I mean, you know, we've got our lineup we'll run out today. Manny will be a third, and you know they got a righty going and. It'll be a little bit contingent upon, you know, the pitching and, you know, who we're facing and best matchups. And then it'll be about, you know, getting guys off their feet. You know, we just had a day off yesterday, so it's not as big a factor for this series. But, you know, moving forward, how we can give a guy a blow with it, using the DH as a spot as well. So it'll be fluid.
All right, I'm going to do just a tiny little bit of nitpicking since I mentioned this on the air. And you always say, hey, just give me a chance to respond to it. So we had a discussion about the late game defensive switches. Specifically, you know, Jurickson's been coming out for Jose Azokar, had the game in the against the Cubs where Jackson went into his spot and ended up coming up, and I'm going, "Oh, I wish Jurickson was still in there. He's so hot right now." How do you the decision making? Obviously, defensive, when you've got a lead, you want good defense in there. I totally get that. But are there situations when you know, hey, we got a one run lead, it's not going to be held every single time? Do you want to keep your offensive players in there just in case in some of those closer games?
Oh man, what a great question. I'm glad you asked it. That one was a doozy because you're sitting there and you're in a place that I have history in with an outfield that can be, and look, you know, it's not like Pro's a good outfielder. He's a solid outfielder. So let's start there. Sugar, with Jackson and Toddy, may be the best outfield, or at least one of them in baseball defensively. And Sugar's metrics, which is something that you follow that, you know, allows you to have, understand the quality of what we're getting out there, is top of the charts in the league. So, and you know, Wrigley's got a lot of different, you know, wind variables. It wasn't blowing too bad that night, but Hap, their left fielder, who plays at home, was, you know, having some, not issues, but he wasn't catching it. He wasn't in control of it the whole way. So that's a factor. The next factor is we do have the lead, and I am going to get the best defense out there. It's not absolutely blindly. I knew that spot was up fifth next inning. There's no guarantee we're going to get there. It's probably less than 50% that you're going to get there. And you have two innings of defense with Sugar in a tougher environment defensively. Plus, with Yuki going in, he's a little bit more of a fly ball pitcher, as is Suarez. Although Suarez, you know, is clearly getting a lot of punch out.
Yeah.
So that was the factor. Plus, I know they're not going to run out. They got one lefty in the bullpen, Love Lady. They're not running him out in that part of the order to go grab Jackson. And, oh, by the way, I'm getting a Jackson Merrill to hit against a righty, which is pretty good too.
Yep.
So I knew I'd still get a quality of bat if that spot came back up, but I would have had a harder time looking at myself in the mirror if something would have fell down the line or something in front that, you know, we might have had a defensive advantage. And but of course, you know, hey, that's why we play the games. They don't always work out, but that was the logic.
See, I think I'm savvy, looking like one step, two steps ahead maybe, but Mike's already looking like seven steps beyond that as to what could happen, and that's why he's the manager of the team, and I'm sitting here in front of a microphone.
That's exactly right, Benjamin, joined by the skipper, Mike Shelton. You know, we've talked to you a few times this season about Xander Bogaerts, and I feel for him, you know, because he's a guy that will stand there, Mike, and tell you straight up, I'm not good right now, man. And, you know, you read the quotes, and it pains you as a human being and that wants him to go out and do well, and I know nobody's taking this harder than him. As a manager, you know, he's watching film. He's trying to get better, and when he himself says, I don't know what's happening. I mean, we watched a game against the Cubbies the other day, and, you know, he takes a 3-1 pitch down the middle, and I go, oh, man, this is totally in his dome right now. How hard is that part of your job of trying to go over to Xander and say, bro, we got you? Like, just kind of reset. And how hard is it for guys to actually reset and find their way?
Well, it's harder for them to reset and find their way, especially guys like Bogey, who care so darn much, you know, and want it so badly, not only for himself, but for the organization, his teammates. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, does want that third ring for this group. But that's the other flip side of it. Does have two rings and has had, you know, and you know, the comforting part, look, you know, we love on him. I love on him. You know, his teammates love on him. The staff loves on him. He knows he's supported. You know, and you know, in talking to him, he's like, man, this thing is, it's been worse, you know. And so you got a reference point to know that this guy has gone through something similar. Look, if you're going to play 10-plus years in the big leagues every day, if you don't think you're going to have stretches where it's just not very good at this level, I mean, you're kidding yourself. But think about this. Think about how many people have those stretches but never get out of them and are up and down guys or don't come back, don't recover from the stretches. But that's why guys that have 10-plus years of experience you can count on, because that's really the separator of what they've been able to do, how they've made adjustments, how they've been able to get out of funks, how they've been able to still contribute to their team in other areas. So, you know, Bogey's, you know, obviously admittingly, you know, frustrated and struggling and super transparent. But, you know, we love him, support him. And, you know, the fact of the matter is we've given him a little bit of break. But, you know, we trust him to be able to play out of it. But he has contributed. It's not like this guy's not gotten hits, hadn't done anything on the road. He got some big hits and some good at-bats for us to help us win that road trip. So it's not like he's not contributing anything. It's just relative to what his expectations are, and of course others, but you know, all we can do is deal with our own.
Yeah, and so, you know, somebody made the point in the chat. I mean, there's some really good hitters at the big league level. Not off to the best starts, you know, 40 games into the season, right? And big, big names, you know, high money names as well. And, you know, obviously we're all pulling for Bogey. We feel like we need him to go to the next level. And once you get kind of everybody firing on all cylinders, Skip, I know that you see the potential of what this team could be. And, you know, I said it this week. I'll stand by it. For a 20-20 team, it's really been a pretty good product, man, to watch every day. And it's been a fun brand of baseball that you've got the guys playing right now. You got a tough series this weekend against the Dodgers. I don't know that Tyler Glasnow is the prescription for getting a guy back on track, but stranger things have happened in this game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, listen, the guy's got a nice arm. They got a good club. But I say it, and we'll continue to say it, it's respectful of the opponent, but you know, it's about how we compete and how we're going to get after and how we're going to play the kind of baseball that we play that, you know, has been able to be successful for us. And, you know, again, we click a little bit more in some areas. It'll only continue to get better. But, yeah, we'll show up and we'll be ready to rock tonight. And I know Petco will be a great atmosphere.
Be jamming.
Yeah, I got one more. And, you know, we've talked about how bullpen management may be the toughest job for any manager. You've been very honest about it. And I agree with you when you say you've got guys like Wandy and Enyel who have done it on the big league level. You're going to stick with them. And I totally understand that. There's been a lot of times where you've aggressively managed, where you bring a guy in, Enyel especially lately, get the final out of an inning, and then he sits and then comes back in the next inning. Is that ever a concern in terms of the performance? I know it could just be a random small sample size thing where, you know, the trouble has come in that second inning, but do you worry about getting a reliever up, bringing him in, then having him sit, then come back out, you know, for other outs when a lot of guys are used to just pitching one full inning and then that's it for their night?
I wish people really knew what I knew.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
You know what I really wish? I mean, I'll answer your question, but and it's really not a wish. It's fine. You know, it's probably the thing that people mostly think when they question, which, again, I'm okay with the question, but it's the you know, reality and the you know, PlayStation version of managing a bullpen. Guys aren't available every day. I hate to break it to you. And when you watch a game, you go, "Ah, oh, he had to send him back. He sent him back out. Why'd he do it?" There's an understanding that, at least for me, that, like, I know that who may or may not be available in the bullpen relative to the last 2 to 3 days. So people go, "Ah, oh, you know, he sent him back out." First of all, sending the guy back out after one pitch—that's
what I said.
Is not overly, you know, it's not overly aggressive.
Well, you're a monster for that. I mean, you and your overworking, that's ridiculous.
Guy throws a pitch and you got two more relievers available. And one you want to absolutely stay away from and one you don't want to work 3 days in a row. Yeah, he needs to go back out because that's what you have. So I don't, you know, I appreciate the question, but
sorry about that.
I appreciate the answer as well.
I'm so sorry.
And you know, it's not just the one pitch. In fact, I of course would have brought the same guy out and done the same thing, even in your shoes there.
Even on PlayStation, you're gonna run him back out there again.
You know what? I can't tell you.
PlayStation, they refresh every single.
They are
true.
Yeah, they're never tired.
Hit the reset button.
They're never mentally out of it. They're always right there for you on the PlayStation. I can't tell you how much though we appreciate your candid answers and giving us your time each Friday morning. I think it's really insightful for the fans out there to get your perspective on things. So appreciate it, and we'll look forward to chatting with you again next Friday.
All right, sounds great.
Thanks so much.
Good luck against the Dodgers. Mike Schilt, manager of Manager's Report, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking, it's better.
Guy's going
to
split you open with an axe the next time he sees you. I can't wait. Yeah.
Just like Tony Gwynn Jr. The Axeman.
Mike Schilt. Know it all.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Yeah, he's great.
All right, we got to take a timeout. Yep. We'll come back. You can react to what you heard from the skipper, Mike Schilt, there. Get you ready for the Dodgers this weekend. Don't go away. More Ben and Woods on the way on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
As always, a phenomenal job by the skipper, Mike Shildt, just explaining everything after, coming back. Then the team is playing really well right now. And, I had the idea of, like, why would you take Jurickson Profar out at the end of the game? And, his spot could come up. The way he explained, okay, I know he's coming up fifth the next inning.
May not get there.
Which he may not get there, no. Which is absolutely true. And Wrigley Field and the tricky winds out there and just putting your best outfield. It's a one-run lead, so I know I'm taking a risk there, but then I know who's, available out of their bullpen, who might be coming in that situation that was going to try to, turn Jurickson around. I know the matchups and the numbers. I think as fans, we don't sometimes realize how expert of a level that they get to when it comes to major league managers and general managers and trying to set their teams up for success. And while we may disagree with some of the decisions, and that's okay, that's part of being a fan, I think the one thing you have to trust is that they are trying to make the best decision possible based on the information that they have and an imperfect science in every single game. But trust Mike Shildt that there is a reason behind these decisions. He's not simply haphazardly by the seat of his pants making some guesses and hoping. He's got real rationale behind those decisions, and I just find that really impressive every time we talk to him.
It's fascinating. Anytime you get to talk to a manager that's open and willing to talk about the moves that he makes or doesn't make, man, and I love that. I think that's such good insight, and instead of just, I thought it was the right decision, went with my gut. And even if you told me, I went with my gut, didn't work. I mean, I'm fine with that, too.
You can say it back.
I'm absolutely fine with that. I'm the decision maker. I made the decision. It didn't work. Suck it. I mean, what do you want? That's pretty much it. We all have that in our lives. We make decisions. Sometimes they're right. Sometimes they're wrong. I just thought that was really cool. It was refreshing, dude.
Man. Yeah, Calvin and Chet says, I don't agree with taking out Profar, but I respect that answer.
100%.
How could you not?
100%.
When he explains it in such detail for everybody out there, for us and for the Tier 1. So really good stuff playing good baseball.
It is a weird gig, man. We've played that scenario before of like, anything you do for a living, whatever it is that you do, imagine walking out the door after your shift is done and there's somebody there with a microphone going, why'd you do that? Well, listen, I've been a plumber for 20 years. I've seen this problem before. I went with this. It didn't work. Thing blew up in my face. I got covered in water and pee-pee right now. So, but I've got 20 years doing this. What do? You're a plumber reporter? All right. I know you like to play plumbing on your PlayStation. Super fun to do a simulator. But I've been out there in the real world doing this. It is such a weird job, the job of a coach. really. I mean, the game's over. You won, you lost, whatever. And you got to walk out and go, yeah, this is why I did it, and this is why, thank you. I love that part of it, though. I like trying to get the understanding. I also like when managers get bitchy about it, too. I do. I think it's fantastic, because guess who would be the bitchiest?
We've seen it a couple of times
right
this
here.
Year.
And, I'd be the bitchiest manager of all time.
In the post-game scrums and such?
Somebody interviewed me after the show.
You wouldn't be human if it didn't,
correct.
If it didn't wear on you at some point.
No doubt.
You know, the expectations.
Woodsy, why did you do that bit there?
Of that job.
Because I know what I'm doing. That's why. That's why I did it. That's why we do this. Because I know what I'm doing. Any other questions?
I respect the heck out of Mike Schilt.
I do too.
So
he's great.
You know, and of course I'm hoping that he's absolutely going to have a long, successful tenure here with the San Diego Padres for sure. I love what I've seen the first 40 games of this season so far.
You know what? Somebody said Woodsy post game interview after a Tier 1's loss. You don't want that. You know why? Because I'm probably the guy that's throwing everybody under the bus. You got to make plays. Balls hit right at you, hits you right in the glove, squeeze the thing, and let's get out of that inning. Pick up our pitchers. You don't like that very much. Yeah, I would not be good big league manager. No. No chance. It'd be really hard for me to be like, Ben, you're out there hitting, you know, a buck 10. No, I believe in Ben. I trust in Ben. He's going to figure it out. It'd be tough.
Yeah, I agree.
To not be like, Ben is terrible right now. He's terrible. I don't know where his head's at. It's clearly not on baseball.
Okay? I'm thinking about the things that I like right now.
He's thinking about the things he likes. He's thinking about
zone.
He's probably thinking about golf. If I'm being honest with you, Ben Higgins is batting 110 because his mind's on the golf course. He's the
long week. Yeah.
He's the new Jake Arrieta.
Got one segment left, and then we're done for the week. The weekend, I'm going to get some rest, going to the game tonight. Looking forward to it, absolutely. We'll get to a preview of the weekend and things Ben likes to wrap things up as we head into Annie and Elston at 10 o'clock. Don't go anywhere. Hey, you've been here the whole time. Might as well stick around for the end with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam. On your way to work on a Friday, want to keep listening to us even after you park the car with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com. You can just download the app or visit Odyssey.com, search 97.3 The Fan, click on our show, download the Odyssey app today to get started. All right, we're going to go through the matchups for the weekend. Obviously, you know, there's no easy matchups against the Dodgers. There's never a day where you go, well, we got them today. They got no hope today. It's always a tough matchup. But Padres are 3-2 against the Dodgers so far this season, which is terrific. We will look ahead to this weekend series after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Michael King on the mound tonight against Tyler Glasnow in the first game of the series. Did you know, Woods? Because I didn't until I just looked it up. Michael King's last four starts. Now, that also includes an 8-7 win over the Dodgers in 11 innings. Oh, no, those are the first four starts. Last one was 13-1. Got plenty of offensive support, but he also pitched very well with six shutout innings. Going back, though, it's kind of been feast or famine for Michael King. When he's in the strike zone, when he's in the ballpark, he's been fantastic. When he's been out of the strike zone and gives up the long ball, it's been rough for Michael King. It's been the tale of two Michael Kings so far this season.
Yes, this is a different lineup than he faced in Korea. You got to keep the ball in the ballpark, and they're hitting, I think, on the average four home runs a game. It's just like it's not the greatest recipe for success, but in this dumb game, anything can happen. And if he can locate Benny, and I don't know that he's going to get a ton of swing and miss per se, but I do think if you can locate, use your defense, you can keep us in the game, certainly. But you got to get to Glasnow. That's going to be the tough part, because it's one thing for your pitchers to do well. You have to score on the other guy as well. And Tyler Glasnow in his last start struck out 10 Braves in 7 innings. He's allowed just 3 runs in his last 3 starts, 21 innings. So he's on a heater right now. Yeah, so you got to find a way to break that up.
You know, it's gonna come down to, can the Padres come up with a big hit in a big situation?
Yeah.
Hopefully you'll have at least a couple of opportunities. Do you cash in on them or not? Do you run into one? Because he's probably not going to give up 6 or 7 runs. But you don't necessarily need that. If you've got Michael King and he's pitching well, and in 3 of his last 6 starts, 7 innings, no runs, 7 2/3 innings, 1 run, 6 innings, no runs. The other 3, 5 1/3, 6 runs, 3 2/3, 4 runs, 5 innings, 4 runs. If you get the good Michael King, this is going to be a terrific matchup tonight that the Padres absolutely can win. If you get the other Michael King, well, yeah, it might be a tough one against Tyler Glasnow. We saw against Shota Imanaga, who's probably been even better than Glasnow so far this year.
Yep.
The Padres weren't bad. They didn't score until the eighth inning, obviously, but they had some hits.
Plenty
they had some
chances.
They just didn't cash in. You're going to have to cash in on one of those, you know, one of those opportunities against Tyler Glasnow probably to give you a chance tonight. So, you know, Michael King, a lot of that rests on his right arm tonight in keeping the Padres in the game the way that Randy Vasquez did on Tuesday night and gave them a chance to win that game. Ultimately, they didn't win it, but the pitching gave them a chance to win. Padres will be looking for that from Michael King in game one of the series tonight.
Yes,
tomorrow is scheduled to be Matt Waldron against James Paxton. Paxton actually 4-0 with a 3.06 ERA.
Of course
he's been, he's got that Dodger thing like
stink. The stink they put on him. That
stench.
The lab. Going to the lab, come out smelling fresh.
The question is, can Matt Waldron now bounce back and, you know, show one of those good Matt Waldron starts we've seen? Because like Michael King, he's also been either, you know, pretty good or he's gotten in a lot of trouble early.
By the way, looking at James Paxton's numbers, his expected ERA is six. He's sitting at a 3.06. His expecting batting average is 263. Fastball velo is very mid. Average exit velo, though, is very mid.
Right.
Doesn't get any strikeouts. Walks a ton of guys.
Timing's been good. Had some hard hit balls at people this year.
That's what happens. That's what happens. 32 innings pitched, struck out 18. Ben,
that's a Saturday's game, and then Sunday it's going to be Yu Darvish against Walker Buehler, who will make his second start in 2 years. After coming off the injured list and making his debut earlier this week, gave it, what, like 3 runs in 4 innings or something in his first appearance. So he is certainly not peak Walker Buehler at this point. I don't know, you know, when the Dodgers kind of expect that, but anytime a guy's been out that long, there's going to be, you know, some easing back into it. You're not going to expect him to throw 7 or 8 innings. They'd probably be thrilled if he got to 5 in his second start as they get back to him. So this is an opportunity. You know, you're looking ahead at the end of the series with Darvish coming off 2 excellent starts, both 5 innings, no runs, building back up the arm after the trip on the injured list. Maybe you're hoping for another, you know, 6 or 7 inning performance by Darvish. You've got that one at least at the end of the series going, okay, Dodgers bullpen's a little injured. Buehler's probably not going to go deep. You've got that chance on Sunday. Can you get one of these first two and give yourself a chance to win the series on Sunday?
Yeah,
that would be outstanding.
I think you can. I absolutely think you can. And I said at the beginning of the week when I saw the pitching matchups, I think you can. I think you can beat James Paxton. But it's you know, listen, like Craig said on the roundtable yesterday, we're only going to go as far as our starting pitching will take us. And you need big outings from Michael King, and you need with a knuckleballer. I mean, Craig talked about they looked at the chart for where his knuckleballs go, and it's all over the place. And now you're worried about pass balls and it's hard to corral. It's having a knuckleballer as your fifth starter is just throwing a dart at a board. I mean, you're just like, I hope the knuckleball's working today. And I hope if it is working, we can catch it. And, you know, so it's a little bit dicey in that respect. I let me ask you this. Would you feel better on Saturday if they were running out a Randy Vasquez or somebody of that nature? Don't you feel like it kind of evens it out a little bit instead of, I sure hope Matt Waldron and the knuckleball is floating and maybe he should throw it more? But if he does throw it more, there's more opportunity for guys to advance on pass balls and things like that. It just feels like a crapshoot. And I know he pitched well against the Dodgers. He did. But it does feel like a crapshoot.
Well, yeah, I think every knuckleballer feels a little bit like that.
Yep.
But you know what? Yeah, most teams' fifth starters, even without a knuckleballer, are kind of a crapshoot at the end of their rotation. You know, if he was so good that every start he was delivering you consistently 7 innings, you know, 1 or 2 runs, guess what? He's not your fifth starter. He's your number one or your number two.
Yeah.
Someone has to be the guy who you're hoping, you know, you cross your fingers and you're hoping for a little bit at the end of the rotation. If you're so blessed that all of your pitchers, you feel confident every time they go out that they're going to deliver a quality start every time, congratulations on your deep playoff run and likely World Series title. Last year, Padres were pretty lucky in that, you know, both Seth Lugo and Michael Wacha, who were viewed as the back of the rotation guys, had such good seasons. That is very rare. Most teams are in the spot that the Padres are in right now. It's, well, what's you know, you got a couple guys you feel good about. You got a guy or two you feel okay about. And then you got a guy who's, let's hope that he's got it on today, or that at the very least, you know, when the balls are hit hard, they're at somebody.
You gotta win a couple of these games.
You do. You
can't start. Is it 1-9 or something?
Yeah, Chris's stat, 19-11 when everyone else starts. 1-9 when it's Waldner or Vasquez. And it's not all their fault either.
Right.
They've had good starts and no run support when they've had the good
but
starts.
But you got to win those
but
games.
You can't go all season long winning 10% of your games when your fifth starter starts. Yeah. You're putting too much pressure on the rest of your rotation to do that. So that's what we've got this weekend. We'll come back on Monday to wrap it all up. And then the Rockies come to town. You just definitely, whatever happens this weekend against the Dodgers, you can't let have any, no hangover. I mean, even if they swept the Dodgers, you can't just run in and just have a hangover against the Rockies. So that'll be the focus when we get to Monday. We'll break everything down when we get there. But yes, you know, after a long week, I'm always good to hear about things that I like.
Me too.
To wrap things up. So let's finish with the extended remix version.
I like good, juicy, sweet strawberries.
I like a good marching band. I like a good, thin pancake.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
I like a barbecue chicken pizza. I really like those seats. I like a midnight buffet. I kind of like the smell of soft scrub. I like more of a small derriere. I like cake.
I like Ed Sheeran.
I like both a hamburger and a cheeseburger. I like clocks. I like how I've kind of set up my life. I like grasshopper pie.
Oh, no, I like it creamy.
I like good, firm banana.
I like just looking out at the sea. I like eating.
I like moist.
I like curry.
I like big butts.
I like fried Brussels sprouts. I like more of a firm filling. I like corn.
I like Nordstrom.
I do like musicals.
I like pepperoni. I like nice hotels. I like Nick getting a start today. I like nuts. I like Steph Curry. I like that song.
I like Squirt.
I like sake. I like San Diego State.
I like Straight Up, Paula Abdul.
I like the beef and broccoli. I like to mix it up. I like Science Experiments. I like that song. I like the crispiness of the waffle. I really like cheese. I like the little lunch meat. I like very straight lines. I like cannelloni. I like a well-crafted headline. I like brown sugar. I like maps. I'll say I like Justin Turner.
I like going to goals games. I like diving into chores.
I like sugar.
I do like Butterfinger.
I like blue and silver, not bad colors.
I like the time change. I like Major League Baseball's new rule. I like the radio. I like geography. I like Skippy. And I like pie. I like Bob Melvin. I really do. I like Jace Tingler, too. I like this day. I like being right. I still do like movie scores. I like good food. I like maps. Right. I like when interviews can turn into organic conversation.
Right.
I do like a Stouffer's French bread pizza.
Mm.
I like having the wind go through my hair. I think I like shows that the characters have an arc. I like the full lettuce, tomato, onion experience as well. I like those kind of burgers. I like the big overflowing bag of fries. I like those little Smarties rolls. I liked what I saw from Seth Lugo. I liked his competitive fire. I like walking around between the different lands. Steve Kerr, though, I like that. I like living on the coast. I like watching Tiger still. I like the idea of that matchup. I liked what I saw in the preseason. I like the aloneness sometimes of Texas Hold'em. I like watching San Diego State basketball. I like those cashew-buttered cashews. I like cold, clear sake. I like a lot of things. I like Chick-fil-A sauce. I just like rankings. I like Steve Winwood. I like Pie Gal Poker. I like to be informed on subjects. I like Chicago. I like Tom Petty. I like the idea of another left-handed bat in the lineup for sure. I do like a good Matt Damon film. I like being on the same page. I like broccoli. I like Brussels sprouts. I like a lot of things. I like this shirt. I like Wipeout. I liked my omelet. Mm-hmm. I like San Diego State at home. I like when a baseball player can be more than just a baseball player. I like vanilla. I like the atmosphere. I like the felt on a poker table. Just kind of how it feels under your fingers when you're there. I like rhubarb pie. I like the window seat. Changing the subject. I like that. I like just a standard yellow peep. I like how San Diego State's playing right now. I like finer things. I like calling a game. I like fiction more than nonfiction, just like the cream. I actually like playing golf with other people. I've liked everything I've seen so far from Mike Schill. I like Mexican food. I like just the solar system. I do like steak. I like specifics. I like going to 7 Mile Casino during the day. I like that people are there having a good time. I like my new eating schedule. I liked what I was eating. Yeah, I like the variety of the menu at Sammy's. I do like a good midnight buffet.
There's always like a, not a new one, obviously. We hear them every week. But there's always a different one that I'm like, that's my favorite one.
It changes. The one I noticed is I'd like another left-handed bat in the lineup. Well, they went and got that left-handed bat in the lineup. And I have liked it, in fact, seeing Luis Arraez play.
You go, I like blue and silver. They're not bad colors.
They're not bad colors.
What was that about?
The Detroit Lions?
The Lions, maybe? Cowboys or something? Here in Dallas?
I am looking forward to seeing Luis Arraez in person in a San Diego Padres uniform.
Yeah.
City Connect uniform. Yep, tonight.
He'll look good in it.
Yes, he will.
He will look good in it. Yeah, you won't.
No, that's why I'm not going to be wearing a City Connect uniform tonight. But if you see me at the game, say hi or don't. It's fine. Whatever you want.
What he's saying is give him a kiss on the lips.
He loves hugs.
Quietly look and say, hey, there's Ben Higgins over there to yourself, and enjoy seeing me at the game tonight.
He doesn't want you guys to know this. It's something that only we know, but I'll pull the curtain back. He loves hugs. Really, he loves them. He loves them from strangers. The more drunk you are, the bigger and tighter. That's his favorite. And all the things he likes. He loves drunken.
Maybe I'll just sit in the press box tonight.
Drunken hugs. From strangers. From drunken strangers.
Hey, real quick. Before we get out of here, one more time.
Yes.
Tickets are on sale now for the third annual-ish Ben and Woods Open. Find it on all of our social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Find the link in our profile. Get out there. Get your tickets today.
Share with your golf-playing friends.
I thought you guys were going to wish the moms another happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day again.
Buy your mother a spot in the Ben and Woods Open. There you go.
Yes.
Two birds, one stone right there. All right, that's it for us. I like Annie
I love
and
you
Elston.
Moms out there. All you moms.
Coming
the
up
Mills,
next.
All of you.
I like moms.
You're the best.
Have a great weekend. Have a great Mother's Day, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday at 6 a.m. on 97.3 The Fan. So long. On your way to work on a Friday, want to keep listening to us even after you park the car with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com. You can just download the app or visit Odyssey.com, search 97.3 The Fan, click on our show, download the Odyssey app today to get started. We're going to go through the matchups for the weekend. Obviously, there's no easy matchups against the Dodgers. There's never a day where you go, well, we got them today. They got no hope today. It's always a tough matchup. But Padres are 3-2 against the Dodgers so far this season, which is terrific. We will look ahead to this weekend series after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. All right, Michael King on the mound tonight against Tyler Glasnow in the first game of the series. Did you know, Woods? Because I didn't until I just looked it up. Michael King's last four starts. That also includes an 8-7 win over the Dodgers in 11 innings. Oh, no, those are the first four starts. Last one was 13-1. Got plenty of offensive support, but he also pitched very well with six shutout innings. Going back, though, it's kind of been feast or famine for Michael King. When he's in the strike zone, when he's in the ballpark, he's been fantastic. When he's been out of the strike zone and gives up the long ball, it's been rough for Michael King. It's been the tale of two Michael Kings so far this season.
Yes, this is a different lineup than he faced in Korea. You got to keep the ball in the ballpark, and they're hitting, I think, on the average four home runs a game. It's just like it's not the greatest recipe for success, but in this dumb game, anything can happen. And if he can locate Benny, and I don't know that he's going to get a ton of swing and miss per se, but I do think if you can locate, use your defense, you can keep us in the game, certainly. But you got to get to Glasnow. That's going to be the tough part, because it's one thing for your pitchers to do well. You have to score on the other guy as well. And Tyler Glasnow in his last start struck out 10 Braves in 7 innings. He's allowed just 3 runs in his last 3 starts, 21 innings. So he's on a heater right now. Yeah, so you got to find a way to break that up.
You know, it's gonna come down to, can the Padres come up with a big hit in a big situation? Yeah. Hopefully you'll have at least a couple of opportunities. Do you cash in on them or not? Do you run into one? Because he's probably not going to give up 6 or 7 runs. But you don't necessarily need that. If you've got Michael King and he's pitching well, and in three of his last six starts, 7 innings, no runs, 7 2/3 innings, 1 run, 6 innings, no runs. The other three, 5 1/3, 6 runs, 3 2/3, 4 runs, 5 innings, 4 runs. If you get the good Michael King, this is going to be a terrific matchup tonight that the Padres absolutely can win. If you get the other Michael King, well, yeah, it might be a tough one against Tyler Glasnow. We saw against Shota Imanaga, who's probably been even better than Glasnow so far this year.
Yep.
The Padres weren't bad. They didn't score until the eighth inning, obviously, but they had some hits.
Plenty of chances.
They just didn't cash in. You're going to have to cash in on one of those, you know, one of those opportunities against Tyler Glasnow probably to give you a chance tonight. So, you know, Michael King, a lot of that rests on his right arm tonight in keeping the Padres in the game the way that Randy Vasquez did on Tuesday night and gave them a chance to win that game. Ultimately, they didn't win it, but the pitching gave them a chance to win. Padres will be looking for that from Michael King in game one of the series tonight.
Yes,
tomorrow is scheduled to be Matt Waldron against James Paxton. Paxton actually 4-0 with a 3.06 ERA.
Of course,
he's got that Dodger thing, like
stink. The stink they put on him. That's
stench.
The lab. Going to the lab. Come out smelling fresh.
The question is, can Matt Waldron now bounce back and, you know, show one of those good Matt Waldron starts we've seen? Because like Michael King, he's also been either, you know, pretty good or he's gotten in a lot of trouble early.
By the way, looking at James Paxton's numbers, his expected ERA is 6. 6! He's sitting at a 3.06. His expecting batting average is 263. Fastball velo is very mid. Average exit velo, though, is very, very mid.
Right.
Doesn't get any strikeouts. Walks a ton of guys.
Timing's been good. Had some hard hit balls at people this year.
That's what happens. That's what happens. 32 innings pitched, struck out 18. Ben,
that's a Saturday's game, and then Sunday it's going to be Yu Darvish against Walker Buehler, who will make his second start in 2 years. After coming off the injured list and making his debut earlier this week, gave it, what, like 3 runs in 4 innings or something in his first appearance. So he is certainly not peak Walker Buehler at this point. I don't know, you know, when the Dodgers kind of expect that, but anytime a guy's been out that long, there's going to be, you know, some easing back into it. You're not going to expect him to throw 7 or 8 innings. They'd probably be thrilled if he got to 5 in his second start as they get back to him. So this is an opportunity. You know, you're looking ahead at the end of the series with Darvish coming off 2 excellent starts, both 5 innings, no runs, building back up the arm after the trip on the injured list. Maybe you're hoping for another, you know, 6 or 7 inning performance by Darvish. You've got that one at least at the end of the series going, okay, Dodgers bullpen's a little injured. Buehler's probably not going to go deep. You've got that chance on Sunday. Can you get one of these first two and give yourself a chance to win the series on Sunday?
Yeah,
that would be outstanding.
I think you can. I absolutely think you can. And I said at the beginning of the week when I saw the pitching matchups, I think you can beat James Paxton. But listen, like Craig said on the roundtable yesterday, we're only going to go as far as our starting pitching will take us. And you need big outings from Michael King, and you need with a knuckleballer. I mean, Craig talked about, they looked at the chart for where his knuckleballs go, and it's all over the place. And now you're worried about pass balls and it's hard to corral. It's having a knuckleballer as your fifth starter is just throwing a dart at a board. I mean, you're just like, I hope the knuckleball's working today. And I hope if it is working, we can catch it. And, you know, so it's a little bit dicey in that respect. Let me ask you this. Would you feel better on Saturday if they were running out a Randy Vasquez or somebody of that nature? Don't you feel like it kind of evens it out a little bit instead of, I sure hope Matt Waldron and the knuckleball is floating and maybe he should throw it more? But if he does throw it more, there's more opportunity for guys to advance on pass balls and things like that. It just feels like a crapshoot. And I know he pitched well against the Dodgers. He did. But it does feel like a crapshoot.
Well, yeah, I think every knuckleballer feels a little bit like that.
Yep.
But you know what? Yeah, most teams' fifth starters, even without a knuckleballer, are kind of a crapshoot at the end of their rotation. You know, if he was so good that every start he was delivering you consistently 7 innings, you know, 1 or 2 runs, guess what? He's not your fifth starter. He's your number one or your number two.
Yeah.
Someone has to be the guy who you're hoping, you know, you cross your fingers and you're hoping for a little bit at the end of the rotation. If you're so blessed that all of your pitchers, you feel confident every time they go out that they're going to deliver a quality start every time, congratulations on your deep playoff run and likely World Series title. Last year, Padres were pretty lucky in that, you know, both Seth Lugo and Michael Walker, who were viewed as the back of the rotation guys, had such good seasons. That is very rare. Most teams are in the spot that the Padres are in right now. It's,
well, what's
you know, you got a couple guys you feel good about, you got a guy or two you feel okay about, and then you got a guy who's, let's hope that he's got it on today, or that at the very least, you know, when the balls are hit hard, they're at somebody.
You gotta win a couple of these games.
You do.
You can't start. Is it 1-9 or
yeah,
something?
Chris's stat, 11 okay. and 19 and 11 when everyone else starts. 1-9 when it's Waldner or Vasquez. And it's not all their fault either.
Right.
They've had good starts and no run support when they've had the good starts.
But you gotta win those
games. You can't go all season long winning 10%
of
your games when your fifth starter starts. Yeah. You're putting too much pressure on the rest of your rotation to do that. So that's what we've got this weekend. We'll come back on Monday to wrap it all up. And then the Rockies come to town. You just definitely, whatever happens this weekend against the Dodgers, you can't let have any, no hangover. I mean, even if they swept the Dodgers, you can't just run in and just have a hangover against the Rockies. So that'll be the focus when we get to Monday. We'll break everything down when we get there. But yes, you know, after a long week, I'm always good to hear about things that I like.
Me too.
To wrap things up. So let's finish with the extended remix version.
I like good, juicy, sweet strawberries.
I like a good marching band. I like a good, thin pancake.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
I like a barbecue chicken pizza. I really like those seats. I like a midnight buffet.
I kind of like the smell of soft scrub.
I like more of a small derriere. I like cake.
I like Ed Sheeran.
I like both a hamburger and a cheeseburger. I like clocks. I like how I've kind of set up my life. I like grasshopper pie.
Oh, no, I like it creamy.
I like good, firm banana.
I like just looking out at the sea. I like eating.
I like moist.
I like curry.
I like big butts.
I like fried Brussels sprouts. I like more of a firm filling. I like corn.
I like Nordstrom.
I do like musicals.
I like pepperoni.
I like nice hotels.
I like Nick getting a start today. I like nuts. I like Steph Curry.
I like that song.
I like Squirt.
I like sake. I like San Diego State.
I like Straight Up, Paula Abdul.
I like the beef and broccoli. I like to mix it up. I like science experiments. I like that song. I like the crispiness of the waffle. I really like cheese. I like the little lunch meat. I like very straight lines. I like cannelloni. I like a well-crafted headline. I like brown sugar. I like maps. I'll say I like Justin Turner.
I like going to golf games. I like diving into chores.
I like sugar.
I do like Butterfinger.
I like blue and silver are not bad colors.
I like the time change. I like Major League Baseball's new rule.
I like the radio.
I like geography.
I like the
Skippy.
And I like pie.
I like Bob Melvin. I really do.
I like Jace Tingler, too.
I like this day.
I like being right.
I still do like movie scores.
I like good food.
I like maps.
Right.
I like when interviews can turn into organic conversation.
Right.
I do like a Stouffer's French bread pizza.
Mm.
I like having the wind go through my hair. I think I like shows that the characters have an arc. I like the full lettuce, tomato, onion experience as well. I like those kind of burgers.
I like the big overflowing bag of fries.
I like those little Smarties rolls.
I liked what I saw from Seth Lugo. I liked his competitive fire.
I like walking around between the different lands.
Steve Kerr, though, I like that.
I like living on the coast.
I like watching Tiger still.
I like the idea of that matchup.
I liked what I saw in the preseason.
I like the aloneness sometimes of Texas Hold'em.
I like watching San Diego State basketball.
I like those cashew-buttered cashews.
I like cold, clear sake.
I like a lot of things.
I like Chick-fil-A sauce.
I just like rankings.
I like Steve Winwood.
I like pie gal poker.
I like to be informed on subjects.
Jesus. I like Chicago.
I like Tom Petty.
I like the idea of another left-handed bat in the lineup for sure.
I do like a good Matt Damon film.
I like being on the same page.
I like broccoli. I like Brussels sprouts. I like a lot of things.
I like this shirt. I like Wipeout.
I liked my omelet. Mm-hmm.
I like San Diego State at home. I like when a baseball player can be more than just a baseball player. I like vanilla. I like the atmosphere. I like the felt on a poker table. Just kind of how it feels under your fingers when you're there. I like rhubarb pie.
I like the window seat.
Changing the subject. I like that. I like just a standard yellow peep. I like how San Diego State's playing right now. I like finer things. I like calling a game. I like fiction more than nonfiction. I just like the cream. I actually like playing golf with other people. I've liked everything I've seen so far from Mike Schill. I like Mexican food. I like just the solar system. I do like steak. I like specifics. I like going to 7 Mile Casino during the day. I like that people are there having a good time. I like my new eating schedule. I liked what I was eating. Yeah, I like the variety of the menu at Sammy's. I do like a good midnight buffet.
There's always like a, not a new one, obviously. We hear them every week, but there's always a different one that I'm like, that's my favorite one.
It changes. The one I noticed is I'd like another left-handed bat in the lineup. Well, they went and got that left-handed bat in the lineup, and I have liked it. In fact, seeing Luis Arise play.
You go, I like blue and silver. They're not bad
They're not
bad colors.
What was that about?
The Detroit Lions?
The Lions, maybe? Cowboys or something? Here in Dallas?
I am looking forward to seeing Luis Arise in person in a San Diego Padres uniform.
Yeah.
You're going City tonight? Connect uniform. Yep, tonight.
He'll look good in it.
Yes, he will.
He will look good in it. Yeah, you won't.
No, that's why I'm not going to be wearing a City Connect uniform tonight. But if you see me at the game, say hi or don't. It's fine. Whatever you want.
What he's saying is give him a kiss on the lips.
He loves hugs.
Quietly look and say, hey, there's Ben Higgins over there to yourself, and enjoy seeing me at the game tonight.
He doesn't want you guys to know this. It's something that only we know, but I'll pull the curtain back. He loves hugs. Really, he loves them. He loves them from strangers. The more drunk you are, the bigger and tighter. That's his favorite. And all the things he likes. He loves drunken.
Maybe I'll just sit in the press box tonight.
Drunken hugs. From strangers. From drunken strangers.
Hey, real quick. Before we get out of here, one more time.
Yes.
Tickets are on sale now for the third annual-ish Ben and Woods Open. Find it on all of our social media channels, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Find the link in our profile. Get out there. Get your tickets today.
Share with your golf-playing friends.
I thought you guys were going to wish the moms another happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day again.
Buy your mother a spot in the Ben and Woods Open. There you go.
Yes.
Two birds, one stone right there. All right, that's it for us. I like Annie
I love
and
you
Elston.
Moms out there. All you moms.
Coming
the Mills,
next,
all of you.
I like moms. Have a great weekend. Have a great Mother's Day, everybody. We'll talk to you Monday at 6 a.m. on 97.3 The Fan. So long.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.